Hey, welcome to the Killer Frogs, a podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 169 for Tuesday of November 9th, 2021. And on tonight's podcast, we've got Nick Howard. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's time to transition from that X's and O's of football and focus on some 2-3 zones, some good old basketball.
I was going to say, this is your favorite time of the year, man. It's round ball time. Yeah. That'll be absolutely a good one. And we'll get into a little bit of that tonight. Also on tonight's podcast, we got Hunter Nix. Hey, Hunter.
Happy podcast again. Yay. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. But, you know, what a one to come back on, because this weekend was certainly one for the books. So we'll definitely be getting into that one as well. And rounding out tonight's podcast, we've got TCU Hall of Famer WC Nix. Hey, Dubber.
Hey. Sun definitely came up Sunday morning, didn't it? Woo, it was bright, shiny, happy. You know, couldn't have happened to a better team. Couldn't beat a better team. You know, everything's good.
It is good. So I got a question to ask you, because you weren't at the game, because you're recovering. How was the how was the broadcast on Fox?
It was, you know what, it was great, really. I mean, they you know, at first I think they were a little heavy on Baylor, you know, because, you know, Baylor's ranked number 12 and this and that. But, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, as the game went on, all of a sudden it started shifting more about TCU, I thought. And, you know, talking about how well our defense was playing, game tackling, and, you, of course, what Chandler was doing. I mean, you know, I mean, it was a good game. I mean, you know, as far as all that, I mean, yeah, I guess the worst part of it was we had a run of 6 penalties in a row there, you know. But besides that, you know, I it's funny because I don't think everybody – I mean, it did sound like they were totally surprised, but, you know, at the same time, it's kind of like the defense is – you know, that's what we've been kind of waiting on all year long. And, I mean, we gave up 28 points, but we still game tackled. We did all that kind of stuff. And I know we'll talk about all this in a minute, but I think it became very positive for TCU. Of course, all the broadcast at halftime and after the game and everything, I thought it was all very positive for TCU. And it was happening. You know, you knock off a number 12, and all of a sudden you're pubbed, your quarterback's pubbed this week, you know, one of the big upsets, you know, and stuff like that. So I think, it was a perfect time for us, that's for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, before we get into the Baylor game, let's go ahead and start off, talk a little bit of women's soccer. And TCU women's soccer has been on a tear. They have not only won the Big 12, but also won the Big 12 tournament, defeating Texas 2-1, and have now been chosen as the number 4 seed going into the NCAA tournament. And we hope the women all the best. It's going to be one heck of a tournament. And I think it's a fairly nice bracket that we got put into. Now, we are going to be across from number 1 Rutgers, but I think on our part of the bracket, I think Princeton's going to be probably the big one everyone's going to be circling. But TCU will match up against Prairie View in the first round here. So I think this is going to be an interesting matchup. And for sure, if you guys get a chance to see the women play, I mean, this is a group that has – they're just dynamic, and they are just fun to watch. And I think what Coach has going over there has been fantastic, and we really wish the women all the best, and we are really proud of what they have continued to do this season. That is really exciting. Additionally, we did talk a little bit about this with Nick a minute ago. Nick, basketball's starting up, and the men are facing off. Who's their first game coming up this week?
First game is Thursday at 7. They play against McNeese State. Should be a good one. I'm excited to see how they play. Like I said, this team, been keeping up with them. They have a bunch of guys that's athletic, 6'7". They can play multiple positions. So they should be able to fly around, get it down on both ends of the floor. And it should be a fun year for TCU basketball. Also, the women's teams play tomorrow. Coach Reagan Peebly and her Lady Hoop squad, they take on Houston Baptist at 5:30 tomorrow. So come out and support them as well.
Yeah, those should be some fun games. I'm just gonna guess you're picking the Frogs in both of those.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, just double checking. Yeah, want to make sure.
It's my religion.
Yeah, basketball season is kicking off, and it's going to be a good one. But something else that has kicked off into high gear is the coaching search for the replacement of legendary head coach Gary Patterson. And Hunter, a couple of names dropped off the board over the weekend and this morning, and a couple other surprises have popped up.
Yeah, there's been a lot of names out there just in general. You know, some of the names that have dropped off being, you know, largely Kellen Moore was the big one, right? Everyone kind of had heard that name.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, now there's been a few new names added to the list. There's some guys that we've heard about from the beginning. I'm just going to kind of go down the list of kind of possibilities at this point. And these are just guys' names that have been thrown out as there has been at least a interest one way or the other. Curtis Modkins, who's an ex-TCU grad. He's been in the league for a long time. Dion has apparently reached out, and they want to interview him. Billy Napier from Louisiana Lafayette. Got a lot of Texas ties. Sonny Dykes at SMU. Tony Elliott, who is at Clemson. Brent Venables, also at Clemson. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, the newest name, which I'm most excited about, would be Matt Campbell. You know, that one to me would be a home run. But
well, that one seemed, oh, you say home run. This one kind of came out of left field a little bit. And I just thought this is just a rumor. This is just message board fodder. But is there a little smoke going on here?
There's a little smoke going on there. And, you know, he was asked about it pretty openly today. And he didn't say, all he said was, I'm focused on football and ISU. And so, you know, he never denied anything. Again, it could be a long shot and it's somewhat out of left field. He's the newest name we've heard. It could all be a big rumor, but he's the one that I would be most excited about right now. But, you know, before this, it had all seemed like all roads pointed to Sonny Dykes. So, you know, he had turned down the SMU or the Tech offer. He's been offered an extension by SMU and is still not taking it. So he was the one who I thought before this, you know, was the name to beat. I still think he probably is, but Matt Campbell would be a very interesting addition to the candidacy.
Yeah, I would have to say if we're going to be choosing between Sonny Dykes and Matt Campbell, I think we take Campbell 100% because, you know, I like Sonny. I like what he's done with SMU. I don't see him as being the coach to take TCU to the next level. I think Campbell can be. If you tie in the recruits we can get here at TCU and the facilities we have, I think Campbell can do it.
Yeah.
They're thinking about, you know, it's going to go better thinking about the next level because, you know, I mean, we're at a certain level right now. I mean, if we wanted to stay at this level, we could have, you know, stayed pat. But they felt like we weren't getting to the next level. And or we maybe were slipping just a little bit. I don't know which one, but I mean, this hire here is a hire to, you know, supposedly, you know, I mean, I thought it was interesting. Jeremiah and them, they talked about we're not rebuilding. We're expected to elevate, you know. So, I mean, whoever they hire, I mean, it's not for a stopgap or a, you know, get us three more wins. It's to get there and compete every year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a stopgap, I think Kill has proven his bona fides after Saturday, but we definitely need to look for somebody who will take us to that next level. And I know a lot of fans were really interested in Kellen Moore, and I felt like Kellen Moore was an interesting pick, but I never, and I mentioned this, I think, last week, I don't see him as the type of guy that you bring in that will take you to the next level. I think he can be a guy that can eventually get a team there, but I don't know what his staff would look like. I don't see him having any head coaching experience. And coaching in college is totally different than coaching a bunch of professionals in the NFL. I think he might make a better head coach in the NFL than he would in college, but it's interesting. And you know, talking to a few fans on Saturday, they kind of talked me into, you know, kind of getting a little bit more up on the Kellen Moore bandwagon. But now that his name is officially off the list as of this morning, you know, looking towards the other people on the list, I'm kind of with Hunter on this. If Campbell is even remotely the possibility, he's my favorite. But it'd be interesting to see how that goes in the next couple of days. And so With that being said, let's do talk a little bit about the TCU Frogs come out against number 12 Baylor, pull off the upset 30-28 in a game that, quite frankly, was the most fun I've had at a TCU game in probably the last 6 years. And a game in which the Frogs come out with so much energy and dynamic and passion and having fun. I mean, I can't remember. I mean, we've won games since the 2014 season, but I don't remember them having this much fun since that Peach Bowl. And it was infectious on Saturday. And I loved watching it. But Dubber, you got the front row seat at home, man. What did you think?
Oh, I'm right there with you. I mean, it was infectious. There's no doubt, you know, and whether, you know, some people are going to say the team was playing for Coach Patterson, and some people are going to be saying that the team was playing for Ian Loops because he wasn't there. Who knows what it was. But all I know is there was a different team out there. I mean, it's the first time I saw a bunch of gang tackling this year. Our defense, you'd have two or three, and they even alluded to that more than once about how TCU was swarming to the football, more than one. There wasn't any running lanes. I hadn't heard them words in ages, at least not this year as much. And then, I will say, it looked like, Coach Beecham was a little more relaxed, and it looked like he just was, I thought it was probably one of the best games, except for the bubble screen. I don't like bubble screen. I've never liked our bubble screen. I'll never like our bubble screen. If we break it and run it for a touchdown, Coach Beecham will call me and tell me, "See, I told you it's going to work." But I just don't like that bubble screen. I like a lot of things we do, but he called a great game, I thought, Saturday. I thought we were relaxed and this, that. Of course, it helps when you call a great game when you have a quarterback out there that just was on fire. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if, Morris could continue this, or if it was a one-hit wonder, or if he, I don't expect that game every week, but, if he can do three quarters of what he did, I'd be dang happy, because he was on fire. He got us out of trouble with his legs, with his arm. He made all the passes, touch, throwing hard, zipping it in, deep ball. I mean, and you know what? I think the telltale of it was, I didn't even realize this. I mean, he hit 10 different receivers. That's how a quarterback's looking. He's not just looking at one or two receivers. He's checking the field. He's working through the progression. And so it just seemed like a totally different vibe Saturday for whatever reason. You kind of knew it was going to be a totally different vibe. You just didn't know if it's going to be negative or a positive. And it was definitely a positive.
Yeah, well, Mortis went off. I mean, 531 total yards, 461 in the air, 70 on the ground. He was actually our leading rusher, ended up getting the offensive player of the week for the Big 12. And as a redshirt freshman, that was the second best game in TCU history for a quarterback, behind Matt Vogler, who had 696 yards against Houston in 1990. When you have a game like that, it makes a lot of guys look around and go, why hasn't he been playing all season long? And the only thing I can keep thinking going back to, you mentioned this before, Dubber, it's like, what a lot of people were saying, well, we had such a good game because Patterson wasn't there, or whatever the case may be. But we all kind of know Patterson doesn't necessarily like to play freshman quarterbacks. And I just wonder if he just kind of stuck with Max just because of his just insistent on just kind of being real loyal to those players. Even though Max had a broken foot. So one's got to wonder if Max's foot played a part in this, or if the coaching change played a part in it. But in either way, it turned out good for TCU.
I think the foot definitely had a part in it. I think Max makes it hard, because let me tell you something. I tell people this all the time. I mean, he's got everything. He's got most everything. I won't say everything, but most everything you want in a quarterback. He's a great leader. He's a great team player. You know what? That I was telling somebody that the other day, or yesterday. If you watch it, from the TV side, you know, of course, they're going to show Max on the sideline when Chandler did well or whatever. You know, Max was the biggest cheerleader I saw over there. He was jumping up, down, high-fiving, running around. I mean, he was glad to see it winning. And that's one of the biggest reasons, even with a broke foot, why it was so hard to change him out, because you knew what you're getting, Max. You're getting a competitor that all the team loves, all the kids love. He does all the right things. He works hard and blah, 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 this and that. And so then you got a freshman that you think could be pretty good, but you don't know because he's only taken a two or three snaps. And I think that plays into it. And I think sometimes, you know, coaches, you know, and you know what? I'd say most time coaches would have done what Meacham, Patterson, whoever was making the call, you know, and stick with that quarterback. You know, it only started with Saban a couple of years back when he just all of a sudden jerks out.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, and put into a, you know, everybody was shocked. I mean, you know, you got a guy that's lost, I mean, two games or three games in his career, and all of a sudden you bench him and put the, and, you know, and he was the first guy that said, hey, you can do this. It's fine. And now look at Lincoln Riley. He did it this year. You know, he did it. He didn't make no bones about boom. Because, you know, the guy he benched was up for the Heisman, too. Or they said he was a front runner of the Heisman, you know. And so now I just think that, you know, it's a different time. It's a different era. I think kids are more prepared. And like you said, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm glad to see the change. Now I think you got to ride Morris as long as you can and see what he can do for you.
Yeah, and I don't want to see him like I'm disparaging Max, because I agree with you. Max was the biggest cheerleader, along with Zach Evans. I mean, Zach Evans was up and down the field, up and down the sideline. Yes. I mean, he was great on Saturday. Max is definitely a team player. Nothing against Max. I'm just curious, you know, like I said, I was just pointing out what was into that particular change. I'm thinking a little bit the coaching change had a lot more to do with it than
Well, you got to think they pulled him at halftime against K-State. I mean, you know, they put him in there the second half of K-State. So Patterson was there when that change was actually technically made. And in my mind, there was no doubt that Chandler was going to start this week. I mean, against Baylor, just because of, you know, I just think because Max wasn't as efficient as he could be. And I don't, you know, the broke foot, not only does it hurt your running, but, you know, you use your whole body to throw the football. You know, it's not just, you know, you're on your feet or on your toes, and, you know, you're planting and pushing off. So, I mean, it affected his whole game. I mean, it didn't affect just his running. It affected his whole game. So, you know, they made the right decision. You can see they made the right decision. And hopefully, the great thing is it took him exactly one ball game, and I promise you his offense has bought in on him, the players and everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
They have.
Well, and
I mean, you got to think also, he did it without his top two running backs.
Yeah, definitely. Because at the press conference, was it Chandler Morris had brought up, he's like, hey guys, I'm going to just throw the ball up and I'm going to leave it up to you receivers just to go get it, or nobody else go get it, or nobody else has a chance to get it. So they're completely bought in because, you know, Quinn Johnston at the press conference, had a lot of high praises for him. And, you know, he has a lot of high praises for all his QBs, but he was excited to see Chandler do so good that last game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think even part of the decision to change, yeah, I think the coaching had something to do with it, but Max's injury also did. But, you know, Kill kind of mentioned in his post-game presser that you thought he was good, but you didn't know how much of a playmaker he was until he actually got out there and did it. And, I mean, you look at a few of his biggest plays of the game, it was a play that would have been called dead in practice when he, you know, when the guy goes and swipes at his back, he bends over and runs around the edge. That play never gets to be made in a practice situation because no one's allowed to touch the quarterback or even go close to him. So you're getting to see Chandler actually do stuff that you don't know that he could do. They might not have known he could do that, you know, to the extent that he did, you know. And there's been other quarterbacks who they've talked about like this, Johnny Manziel being one of them, you know, Kyler Murray, guys who can run Baker the ball Mayfield. Like that. Baker, yes, guys who can make those guys miss in the pocket. They may not be the very fastest guy on the field, but they're super athletic. They can, you know, they can kind of make those guys miss. And so we saw all that from Chandler this weekend. I mean, it was impressive, very impressive for a first start.
Well, another thing, I think he was accurate. I mean, I didn't realize, you know, I've seen him play in high school, you know, at Holly Park, you know, and so I kind of knew what kind of kid, I didn't realize he had a strong arm as he did. I mean, he put the zip on the ball.
That one pass to QJ was a bomb.
I knew he had touch, and I knew he had some of that. Of course, he came from a great program, high school program, but you know, I mean, he had some zip on the ball. I mean, he did. You know, he and not every pass was great, but let me tell you, it was because of confidence. I mean, I only saw him, you know, I only thought he threw a couple of really bad passes that he got lucky on. But, you know, for the most part, man, he was dead on. I mean, you know, our receivers, you know, he said he's throwing it up to them. But let me just tell you, they didn't have to work real hard because he put it in their hands. I mean, I'm not saying everyone was like that, but for the board, I thought it was one of the best. And I'm not talking about just Max. I'm talking about even further back in the past, maybe all the way to Andy Dalton. I thought it was one of the best games I've seen a quarterback throw zip, touch, this and that, be as accurate as he was.
Yeah, he made all the different throws this week. I mean, he made all of them.
It just so accurate. And you know what? You never know how a quarterback, the poise part of it. Mm-hmm. He was very poised. When he made a bad play or when something bad happened, you know, I'm sitting there cringing. I'm waiting. Oh, here it goes. And he didn't cave under the pressure. He just kept going.
Well, one thing you mentioned, Dubber, I think was really important. And one thing I really like to see is you talked about the number of receivers he hit on Saturday. And you talked about the progressions. That was – he had one of the quickest reads – and he was so smooth going through his progressions and knew exactly where his receivers would be that it didn't remind me. I don't remember seeing a TCU quarterback going through his reads like that probably since Andy Dalton. It was very methodical, and it was great because as I'm watching his head swivel as he's going through his progressions, if you're a defensive player, you don't know where the ball's going.
Well, you know, everybody needs to remember, he's quarterback son coach. I mean, his dad's a good coach.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not like his dad. I mean, his dad understands the game. He's grown up around it. He's grown up around offenses, and he's grown up knowing how to play the game. You know, he's had his built-in quarterback coach since he's been born, basically. You know, also. So, you know, you're right. I think he's seen the game so much. That I think you're right. I think he was very good. You know, 10 receivers. You know, like this week, Oklahoma State, you know, they're going to think, you know, we got to shut down Johnson. I mean, he's just a freak. I mean, you know, everybody's going to say that. But at the same time, it's not like that was the only guy he threw to. I mean, he spread the ball around to everybody.
We had a tight end score a touchdown.
Yes. If you're open, you're going to get the ball. Is what it was basically.
And it wasn't his only pass of the day either.
You're exactly right. Yeah. But you know what? As good as, you know, and I will say this. I'll go ahead. The last thing I'll say about the offense. I think the offensive line played good. They gave protection for the most part. I think the running backs did as well as they could. You know, we lost Miller early. You know, but, you know, that defense is one of the top-ranked defenses in the Big 12. I mean, they were only giving up around 200 yards of passing, and I forgot what the rushing was. I mean, they don't give up a whole lot. That, you know, they're known for their defense and for the quarterback, you know, really. I mean, that's what they're really. Their defense is salty, and then they got a good quarterback that knows how to run their offense. And, sheesh, we made their defense look porous. I mean, very porous. It's like all that talent we've been hearing about all of a sudden just broke out.
Yeah, and I think there is something to what Morris was saying in the postgame that Nick had mentioned where, you know, having a quarterback who has enough confidence in his receivers and enough touch on the ball to be able to put the ball in the area and let the receivers go up and get it. I mean, we saw that with going back to Boykin. Boykin did that several times. and had a lot of success. Hunter mentioned a couple of Heisman winners in the past that have done that to great success. Johnny Manziel being one at A&M, and then Baker Mayfield as well at Oklahoma. And having a quarterback who can do that, and then having receivers who they can trust. I mean, that one pass that just threaded the needle to Tay Barber was unbelievable. And to have a receiver that you know is going to be in that spot at that time and be able to connect to him, I think that's a huge bonus. And I think to your point, Dubber, what you were saying about OSU coming up this weekend, they can shut down QJ all they want, but you've got about four or five other guys on that field who can make plays as well. And if you've got a quarterback and get them the ball, that bodes very well for the Frogs on Saturday.
You know, we can talk about offense. It was great all day long. And I know we gave up 28 points on defense, but I'm going to tell you right now, it was a different defensive game. Oh, yeah. I mean, our kids now, you know, hey, I only thought there was a couple of times, you know, that there was some, there was one when they scored, there was two wide receivers wide open. I was like, I don't know how that happened. But for the most part, I just didn't see guys running totally. Now, we might get beat, but I didn't see guys just totally running wide open and nobody be around them whatsoever. And then I thought, I agreed with the people. From my standpoint, watching it on TV, you know, you had two, three, four guys. You know, that very first series, man, it looked like the old days. I mean, boom. I mean, it was big run after big run. And I mean, all of a sudden they were down there and they scored so quick. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a long game. And then all of a sudden after that, they kind of shorted up. And, you know, we gang tackled. We played hard. We didn't, you know, we didn't just give them something. You know, we made them do 11. 12, 13 play drives. You know, we made them earn, except for that first deal and maybe one in the second half. We made them earn all their touchdowns. I mean, they had to drive down the field, and they you know, we just didn't give them the big run. And then the great thing was I saw some kids out there I hadn't seen all year long.
Yep.
I mean, all of a sudden, you know, there's kids. I had to run it back two or three times. I mean, that's the great thing about being at home. Commercial came on. I was running it back. I'm like, wait a minute. Who was that? You know, I'm sitting there looking at these players. I'm like, I ain't seen that number out there ever, you know.
I mean, you've got two of the bigger plays on the defense on Saturday were guys who have not played. Keon Stewart, who has been out with injury, but, you know, they were talking about him trying to be back for the first, you know, after the first couple games. He's not touched the field. Now it's November, and he has his first pick in week one. And then same with Shadrack Banks. You know, that he'd not played at all almost. He'd been on special teams. And then, you know, he was playing very well as just at linebacker. He was stuffing holes. You know, he was that big physical linebacker you kind of need in the middle with our defense, it seems like. You know, he was really plugging it up. And then the big pick at the end of the game. I mean, these are guys we've not really played at all this year. Three of them, you know, between Chandler and those two guys, now had, you know, they were huge portions of the game, made some of the biggest plays.
Yeah, Banks kind of
good to see.
Oh. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say it was finally good to see a linebacker actually lead the defense in tackles after the game. Like D Winters, I think him and Dylan Horton, they actually led the team in tackles, so that was good to see the defense actually just be able to put the pieces together.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. And Banks kind of reminded me a little bit of watching Paul Dawson. You know, I mean, he was flying around the field when he was out there.
Very much.
I mean, that interception was just textbook. I mean, it almost looked like he knew exactly what was about to happen. And Baylor had been trying to set that up all game long. And I think he had seen enough, I guess, over the week to realize what was coming. And he made a perfect play to end the game.
Well, it just seemed like we came after the quarterback. We came after the running back. It looked like I don't be running the, you know, was it 4-2-5 or whatever? You know, it didn't look like a 4-2-5 to me. It looked like a 5. You know, it looked like we had 5 on the front line or 6. I mean, we were coming. We were filling gaps and coming in holes, and we were coming downhill. We weren't waiting for blockers to get on us. We were going after people in the hole, and that was I was excited to see that. You know, and I was excited to see people flying around, just like the touchdown. I mean, the interception where they tipped it and they got it. You know, before this week, I'm not sure that somebody would have hustled hard enough to be there to get the interception off a tip, you know, in the end zone. I mean, we've had guys that have knocked down passes back then, but it'd be only one guy back there. This, that. But that's why I said everybody hustled. They ran to the – hey, when you hustle and you play hard, sometimes even when you're out of position or something, good things happen. even when you're playing bad technique or this or that, when you're hustling, good things happen. And that's what I saw. I mean, I just saw kids playing hard, kids playing loose. You know, and was Noah Daniels back? He played this week.
Yeah,
he played.
Noah Daniels played this week.
You know, he played.
Brown had a couple big catches on offense. I mean, there were guys everywhere. Blake Noel had a few catches. Blair Conrad got back into the game a little bit more. He's, you know, had very few targets the last few weeks. I mean, it was just tons of guys you haven't heard from all season, which was really refreshing.
Yeah, it was. I mean, hey, I think some kids got an opportunity, and whether, you know, Patterson might have did that one this week by this time now. I don't know if it's him or not. I'm not going to question everything, but all I know is this group of coaches said, hey, we're going to let these kids play, and we're going to give people opportunity to play. And you saw some kids that went out and played. Yeah. Well, they played for Patterson. They played for themselves. They played for the team. I really don't care. I just like to win football games. And, you know, they all looked like they're having fun. They played hard. There was a lot of people out there, a lot of different kids out there playing, and that gets infectious, you know. So, you know, I'm like I said, I mean, you know, it's just like Chandra. I want to try to taper my enthusiasm, you know, as one game, you know. And so you got to see it on a few more games. And it was one game for the defense, and it was one game for – well, the offense has actually looked pretty good at a couple of times in the first year. But you know, it's all one game. I want to taper it. But if we can kind of build on what we did this week and bring it to next week, we have – you know, that's what I've heard the whole time. It's not like we don't have the athletic ability to do it. It looked like it was more mindset than athletic ability. Now, if we take that athletic ability and get after it, who knows? We might make a little run at the end of the year.
Yeah, that would be something if we could do that. And I almost wish that Saturday's game was actually here in Fort Worth rather than out in, you know, as an away game. Because I tell you, one of the things that was a real big change was the atmosphere. And I know, Deborah, I don't know if it came across on the TV set, and I know Hunter will agree with me on this. That was the wildest atmosphere I've seen in Amon Carter Stadium in a long time. I mean,
it's been a minute.
You have had the student center was rock. I mean, the student section was just rocking, but I mean, the fans were going absolutely ballistic. And I cannot remember the last time a Frog offense had to tell the crowd to quiet down. I don't remember that ever happening in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, but it happened on Saturday. I mean, the crowd was just, it was infectious. It was great to see. And you could tell that everybody was feeding off the energy of the players. And did you get that feeling through the TV set, Deborah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could tell that it was a lively atmosphere. You know, I mean, you could definitely tell. You know, me personally, I could tell because I've been at the games when they have it very, very lively, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I thought you could hear the game. I thought it was an exciting game. Of course, I'm a Horned Frog. I was excited watching that we were in the game and everything anyway. But, yeah, I thought you could tell. I mean, and that's, you know, that's what you really hoped happened, you know, that our players got there. I mean, our fans got there and really supported the fans and, I mean, supported the players and everything like they did. And, you know, you come down, you know, because at the end, you know, when that big, you know, when we got the, when they got the ball back and, you know, they got it right there at the 50, you know, I was like, oh, here it goes again. Their defense, of course, Sid Banks makes the big interception and everything. But, you know, that's what you're used to, you know, before. And that's just what we haven't seen in a while, you know. Used to, you get them situations, you kind of feel like, all right, we can win this game. but I was still up for grabs until the very end. So yeah, it was exciting for me. It sounded like it was exciting for being there. All I know is I talked to Hunter right afterwards. He couldn't talk anymore.
Yeah, I lost my voice pretty bad by Saturday night. So
yeah, he was pretty hoarse by the time we made it back to the tailgate.
Definitely. I will say it's been, I mean, honestly, that might be one of my top 10 favorite games at TCU like I've ever been to. And I've been to, at this point, probably 100 games. So, you know, it was electric. It was so much fun. I'd miss football at TCU like that. And, I mean, I feel like we got back to it a little bit. Again, it was just 1 week, but, you know, arrows are pointing in the right way for a change.
Hunter sounded like an old TCU coach from the past. 40, not four.
Hey, you know, I was. It was bad. I was yelling like Gary, you know, in spirit, I guess.
Well, you know, David Hawthorne did the ceremonial shoe tie at the coin toss as our honorary captain. That was sweet. And Hunter came back to the tailgate horse like Coach Patterson during halftime. So that was his little nod to Coach.
Hey, you know what? Coach Patterson's gonna go into the TCU Hall of Fame. He's gonna go into the Texas Hall of Fame. He should go into the NCAA Hall of Fame. I mean, all those players and all them guys that played under him, all the fans. I mean, hey, you gotta love what Coach Patterson did. I mean, It's not like our program's run into the ground. We have plenty of talent. We can build off this. You know, we just got to make the right decision with the coach. And, you know, but, you know, a lot of kudos have to go out to him. So I was glad that Hawthorne did that, you know, and because I think that, I hope there's a time that everything calms down and we can really give Coach P, you know, really honor him at a game or something, or, you know, I mean, because he deserves some of that. I mean, he deserves whatever he gets as far as all that, because he did a great job for 20 years for us, you know. And so, you know, it'll be an interesting deal. If this rest of this season is a salute to Coach P, that doesn't bother me one bit. I mean, you know, he deserves it. But at the same time, it's the kids that got to go out and play every week. And, you know, I don't want to forget about that either. They're the ones that they're the ones that are either going to win or lose a game for you.
Yeah, definitely. One interesting little tidbit. Keith actually had posted this on his feed. He had a picture of the old South Pancake House, and they had a sign out front that said, you know, something, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, "Thanks, Coach P, free pancakes for life."
I hope he invites me. I love the old South Pancake House.
I knew that'd get you. Yeah, that was pretty sweet. I'd love for the Kansas game, which I think is a 3 o'clock kickoff. I think they've announced that 3 o'clock kickoff on the 20th? I can't remember it's week after next. I hope we do. I hope we actually do honor Coach Patterson, and I think it's well worth doing now, and not have to wait until, you know, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of bad blood right now, because he did come back. He was helping out the program all this week, and I think there was a comment from, did you guys see the comment from Bob Stoops?
I listened to it.
So I mean, for those of you who hadn't heard it, right, somebody, he was talking to Patterson and he had actually mentioned that Patterson's probably like on the phone talking to them or you know, helping out the staff, and Patterson, I guess, heard the comment and texted back Bob Stoops, says, "Of course I am. What are you kidding? Of course I am."
Yeah, exactly.
So
I definitely heard that.
Yeah, Patterson's still involved, but I think we've seen a little bit of a shift in the attitude right now of just the staff and then the players. And if you get a chance, go check out some of the videos from the locker room that are on Twitter and Instagram. Chauncey Franks has a great one. Go ahead and watch his, and you could just, you could just see. I mean, it is a palpable difference right now, that just the air in what's going on with the team right now, it's worth watching. And there were several reports of players just breaking down and thanking Patterson, and several of them just kind of, you know, weeping as they're walking into the tunnel. I mean, there was a lot of emotion on the field on Saturday, and a lot of those players have so much respect for Coach Patterson. And, yep. And I know a lot of us and a lot of them didn't want it to happen the way that it did. And it is a new chapter, but these guys get to finish writing out the old one, and it's something something to behold. Those next couple of games are going to be fun to watch.
I agree totally.
So let's talk about the next part of this chapter, and that's Oklahoma State on Saturday in Stillwater, which is a place that we typically have not played well in. I don't know what it is about Stillwater. I mean, that stadium is a mess, and we always tend to be a mess whenever we walk in there. But what do you guys think about Saturday? And again, you're right, Dubber. It's just one game, but game number two under Coach Kill. What are you thinking for Saturday?
Well, let me tell you, if we play anything like we played Saturday, we'll be at the ball game at the end of the game. I mean, if we play with the kind of enthusiasm that we play with the quarterback play, and the defense flies around like they're flying around, I think that, I think we got a, we got a good shot. You know, I mean, I don't think there's anybody in our conference. I mean, I know Oklahoma's 8-0 but they've looked very average at times. Every team, there's not a team, including Oklahoma State, that haven't looked average at times. You know, and then I don't think I'd go out there and think, you know, there's only one team I don't think I'd want to play in the country, and that's Georgia. Besides them, you know, I mean, you know, I just think, you know, anybody else, you know, everybody looks, you know, decently average. You know, I mean, and if you're up and you want to play, if you play hard, this and that, you got a great shot at, you know, win a football game. And I'm not taking anything away from Oklahoma State because he's done a great job, and we'll have to play good, and we'll have to play. We can't have all the penalties and stuff like that we've had. I mean, that was terrible. But if we give the kind of effort we gave Saturday, and our quarterback plays three quarters of the way he played Saturday, then we'll be there at the end. You know, I think we have a good shot. It's going to be one of the other things. Now it's the second week, so. Now, was it because you were just so emotionally charged? You had a great game, and now are you going to have a letdown, or are you going to be able to sustain that and you know, take it to another game? That's going to be the interesting thing to see. But I will say this. I think that's why Kill was the right guy, because he's a head coach. He understands all that, and I think he'll do a pretty good job of getting them prepared.
Yeah, he certainly looked good on Saturday on the sideline. Nick, how about you?
I think if they, like WC said, if they can sustain it, I think they should be fine. One thing that does kind of, you know, triggers me with Oklahoma State, the defensive line, the defensive front that they have, it's pretty brutal. And, you know, they get to that backfield. They put a lot of pressure on that West Virginia backfield. So, just want to see how that offensive line holds up. So I know WC might have something to say about that. But just moving forward, I think we should have a fighting chance to have another upset under our belt.
Well, it would be nice if we get a running back back. Simmons, Miller, hear anything about the status of Miller?
Nope.
Oh, radio silence.
I mean, silence.
Which, no news seems like about Evans, news there, you know, but
we get back Miller or Evans or both of them, then, you know, that helps a whole bunch in that area.
Yeah.
Oh, we get Evans back. That changes everything. Sorry, Hunter. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, honestly, for this game, I'm kind of in the same boat as these guys. Yeah, we had the great week last week. We were emotionally charged. Everything, you know, things were going our way. What happens with a little adversity with these, you know, it's a different team at this point. We've said that as far as just the players on the field, the coaching staff. What happens when there's some adversity on the road? But at the same time, we can beat anybody else on the schedule this year. There is no team that is just better than everyone else. And, yeah, I mean, the team we're playing this next week, they've got one loss, and it's to the team we beat last week. So, you know, I know the transitive property does not work at all in football, but
certainly not this season.
No, not at all. But at the same time, I mean, talent-wise, we have the talent. It's just which team shows up, and hopefully it's the same one.
Yeah, I think that's the important key. I mean, we've got the talent, and I think Saturday, I think they now believe they've got the talent. And I think they are playing a lot looser. I think they had fun for the first time Saturday. And yeah, there could be a letdown. And that can happen. But what I saw on Saturday was a group of kids who got to love playing football again. And that is infectious. And when you've got that feeling, you want that again. And they know how to do it. They did it on Saturday. They could do it again this Saturday. They just got to focus on having a good practice all week long. And that was something that we didn't talk about. That was something that was told to us, some of the sources from inside the program, saying this week's practices were just amazing. It was loose. It was fun. And they kept reiterating the word fun. Everybody was just having fun. And if they continue doing that, if Kill can keep this atmosphere going, and Dubber, I think you're right. I think this guy's, he is the perfect person at this time for this particular job because he knows how to do this. He knows how to handle these students, unlike any of the assistants that we have right now. And Meacham, man, there was a point in that flea flicker to Quentin where Quentin caught that one-handed, which Nick's got an interesting story about that for the post game. Nick, I want you to tell everybody what Morris said here in just a minute. But when right before that flea flicker happened, for what was told to me, Kill walks over to Meacham, puts his hand on his back, gives him a nod, and then walks off. And then the next call you get is that flea flicker. When you got guys out there who are just calling games like that, I mean, that's not going to end, you know, this week. I mean, they're going to continue doing those things. And as long as the players go out there and they just do what they want to do and get it done and perform, I think we're going to be okay for the rest of the season. But Nick, I preface this. In the post game, you mentioned that Morris had no idea QJ caught that one-handed.
Yeah, Jeremy Clark had brought it up to him. He was like, did you know Quentin Johnston caught that one-handed? And he was like, no. So as they was transitioning between from Chandler Morris to Quentin Johnston to ask questions, Chandler asked Quentin, he's like, you caught that one-handed? Quentin is like, yeah. And he's all like, sweet.
Yeah. Well, it was sweet. Let me tell you, it was unbelievable. I mean, yeah. he's a great receiver. I mean, I'm going to tell you that right now. He's one of the best receivers in the country.
Absolutely. I mean, that he kind of quietly had 140 yards. I mean, you don't even realize that he's just putting up these numbers pretty much every week that he's played this year now.
I call him grown man because that's what he was playing like Saturday.
Absolutely. Once he figured it out since Oklahoma, he's been a different guy.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing I love about him, and I've always loved about him. You know, Chandler made a bad read, a bad throw to the end zone, and, you know, tried to get it to him in double coverage. And he literally – I mean, he was a defensive guy. He became a defensive back, and I thought for sure it was intercepted. I mean, I'm thinking there is no way that ball's not it, but he fought hard enough to, you know, to keep it out of the defensive guy's hand too. That's what I really like about him. I mean, it's not just about the catch, making great catches. If he's not going to catch the ball, he cares about it enough that he's not going to let you catch the ball either, or at least he's going to do everything he can not to let you catch the ball. And he's done that more than once, but that was just a great play, you know. They said that on the, you know, on the broadcast about, you know, geez, he turned into a defensive player basically, and, you know, and stopped that. That's what I really respect about his game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you said, you know, that ball was thrown in double coverage, and I think almost every pass to him, except for that one touchdown pass where he was oddly enough kind of left alone, and Chandler saw it immediately and fired that touchdown pass to him from the 10-yard line. Most every single pass to him was in double coverage in some way, shape, or form, and Chandler just dropped it in there almost every time except for that one. But you're right, he did a beautiful job keeping that ball away from the defender.
Yep. What were you about to say, Nick?
I was just saying that's like Larry Fitzgerald or Julio Jones. That's what he kind of reminds me of.
Yeah. He is. He's got all kinds of talent, that's for sure.
Yep, absolute stud.
Yeah, I think the next three games are going to be fun to watch him.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to see, we got – several talented receivers, tight end receivers, you know, running backs. I mean, we this is something we knew from the very first of the year. You know, that's why we're all so excited because of the talent level we had, and it just hadn't you know, you see little bits and pieces of it, and it just never came to fruition until it, you kind of felt like it did a little bit Saturday. You know, and I don't think we've ever seen, I don't mean this is any disrespect, but I don't think the defensive side, we ever thought that even, that didn't even start off good. It never went good the whole year. And yesterday, I mean, Saturday was the first time I thought, oh, yeah, now that kind of reminded me of the old defense we're used to playing, flying around, getting after people.
Yeah, they certainly were ball hawks on Saturday. And it was good to see. And you know what? What honorable mention, though, Dover, because you haven't talked about them all podcast long, man. Offensive line.
Yeah, let me tell you, the offensive line, they played great. I mean, I thought they did. I thought they got physical. You know, that's what I like to see. I like to see guys get physical. I like to see them finish off blocks. You know, now the only thing that drives me crazy is a couple of holding calls in there, and I'm like, I don't even understand how you get called for holding today. I mean, if you just don't know how to keep your hands inside, you should never, ever get called for holding. But I do like how physical our line's playing. And Nick, it is going to be a telltale because Oklahoma State has a good front seven. And they're, you know, that front defensive line, they're physical too, and they get after you. But I feel like, you know, I think we got a good shot. And if we get, you know, one of our two running backs or get – both of them back, you know, and I'm not saying anything about the other running backs, but, you know, they're just not denying. There's no denying how good Evans and Miller both are, you know. And if we get one of them back or both of them back with the offensive line, with what Chandler does, you know, that takes a little of that aggressiveness away from that defensive line. But we'll just have to line up and get physical again. And if we get physical again, I feel pretty good about everything. I mean, you know, our line – there's some guys I'm not necessarily on the podcast, but I've told y'all that I've been critical of and this and that. And they got after it, you know. So, you know, I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about the game. I'll have my prediction here in a minute, but I'm excited about it.
I think we're only down to one running back because DeMarco Foster's hurt too, isn't he?
Yeah, we're down to one.
We're down to
Dave Mercado is it at the moment.
One scholarship running back, and that was it. You know, and then a non-scholarship. You know, that's what they were saying on the broadcast.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see on Saturday. If we could get, I don't know, if we can get one of them back, that would be nice. But I mean, Dave Mercado is a good back. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't see him with the power that, you know, Miller or Evans has, and I think that's what we're going to need against that front seven for OSU, because those guys
– That burst of speed. Yes,
absolutely. Because if you don't, then you're going to end up with a lot of, you know, screens, sweeps, a lot of things that I don't think are going to work as well at Oklahoma State as it would against Baylor. But we'll see how it goes on Saturday. But let's talk predictions then. Frogs versus Oklahoma State on Saturday. Nick – what do you have?
I got 28-21 TCU.
You know, that was my prediction last week, by the way. I think me and Shannon were the only one. I'm going to give Shannon and me our kudos because I'm pretty sure. Did anybody else pick TCU between us two?
No, it was both of y'all. Yep.
It was us. It was, you know, the old two horned frogs is hard to pick against for guys, but, you know. But at least it worked out.
Well, I think Hunter and I were going for the reverse psychology pick, right?
Yeah. So y'all did a great job with the reverse psychology. A great job.
It worked. It wasn't too bad. So, Hunter, how about this week? What do you have?
I almost picked us to lose again just because that seemed to work last week, but not going to do that to my frogs. Yeah, I'm going to pick Frogs to win 31-28, very similar to last week.
Ah, okay. All right, Dubber.
I'm going to go with 35-28 because you know what? What did we do? We missed two field goals, did we?
Yes. One off the upright, one got blocked.
Yeah, one off the upright, one that got blocked. That would have been 36 right there. So, yeah, 35. I'll go 35. And I'll give them 28 because, you know, we're going to score. They're going to score some points. They got a good offense. So
I agree.
That's what I'm going for.
So I was kind of feeling the same thing as y'all. If we get one of our running backs back, I think we score as many as 42. But as it stands right now, down to one running back, I think the game is a tight one, like the rest of y'all. I'm also thinking about 30, I'm going to say 33 points, just to kind of break it up a little bit. Otherwise, I would have said 31, but I'm going to say 24 for Oklahoma State. So I think we win by two scores, but I think it's going to be a close one till the end, so it'll be fun.
Yep. It can be 17-14. I don't care if TCU wins.
Yeah, for this one, same. If we win by one, I'll be happy.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Well, with that, I think we've come to the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody out there listening to us. We are, of course, available on Apple Podcasts and Google Play, Stitcher, and, of course, now on Spotify. And, of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com, read all about all the news on the Fan Nation. Of course, go and join the forum. You can also download our new mobile app. Just search for Killer Frogs on your mobile device, and you can download that and read all the news and join the community. And sign up for a free account. We've got a ton of new members this last week talking to us about football. Of course, if you want a score prediction, go ahead and post in the forum and let us know what you think the score is going to be or how wrong one of us may have been for picking against TCU last week. That's fine, too. And, of course, as always, want to thank everybody out there, and we are looking forward to hopefully another TCU victory on Saturday. But it's the end of the podcast. It's the time where we all get our frogs up and we get to say,
go, go Frogs! Frogs.
It's 9:35 and Baylor still sucks.